Welcome everyone to Spotlight, December 14th, 2002. I want to first thank Becky for coordinating Spotlight, and as always, Start Button for recording and doing a great job of editing these weekly sessions. And today we are interviewing our very own Start Button, Dennis in Minnesota. Dennis, I know we did our pre-interview show last night and it was fun. I learned a few more new things about you. And why don't you start by telling us about your preschool days, whether you were born blind, and anything in particular, any memories you might have about preschool years.
Well, hello everybody. You guys probably know me as Start Button, a.k.a. Dennis. Most people know me up here. I was born in a medium-sized town in Minnesota called St. Cloud, Minnesota. Well, actually, St. Cloud. And there's about 50,000 people there. I was born with glaucoma. And the reason I mention that is because I had many surgeries when I was very young, so that put me a little bit behind schedule when I was a child. Had many surgeries at the University of Minnesota to try to relieve the pressure, and during the 60s, they didn't have the efficiency of bringing the pressure down like they do today. So between the ages of I was discovered with glaucoma when I was 3 months old, but between the ages of basically a year to three and a half years, I didn't have much developmental potential going on there. So when I got into preschool/kindergarten, I was behind. I couldn't tie my shoes I didn't have speaking issues. I always had a big mouth, but I never had any issues with speaking, but it was tying my shoes or buttoning buttons and things like that. I never wasn't able to tie my own shoe and button my own buttons until I was in first grade, and I think that had to do with the glaucoma. I don't remember being blind that much, only in those issues when it came to tying my shoes and things. I had much more sight than I do now. My right eye was much better than it is today. So besides just figuring out that I had glaucoma and being in the hospital, not a whole big difference between me and the other kids. It came later on.
Okay, Dennis. I forgot the most fun part of these interviews, and you're a master at cutting and pasting, so I'm going to have you cut and paste this in prior to your opening there. It's been a pleasure knowing and working with Dennis for the last 2+ years. Dennis was instrumental in getting the site going and has contributed so much to For the People. He's a dynamic and energetic teacher, and has helped so many people with technical problems and issues over the last 2+ years. All right, Dennis, what about your school years? What do you remember most about school? Where did you go to school, and what do you have to share about those experiences?
Well, I moved from St. Cloud. My parents got a divorce when I was about 7, and I moved from St. Cloud. And when my dad and mom got divorced, it was pretty traumatic, you know. Not from a blindness perspective, just from a standard kid perspective. I still didn't really associate myself with being blind. I knew I was, and sometimes I got, funny looks from people, because at this time I had my sister. She was I should mention I have one sister. She's about 3 years younger than I am, and we were kind of buddies together until later on. She'd tell me if somebody was looking at me, she was feisty, so I just started realizing that I was blind. As I got into my later, grade school years, 4th, 5th, and 6th, it was much more apparent I was teased a lot when I was in grade school, and I think most of us that were blind were teased a lot. I think the one thing I regret as I've grown up, if you've ever heard me on here, is using a cane when I was younger. I think that was one of the most critical things I had not taken care of when I was much younger. I wish I would have gotten a cane when I was younger. So I'm about sixth grade now and was going into junior high, and at this time junior high was 7th through 9th grade before they made the new switches to all the different types of schools. By the way, I was heavy into electronics from when I was a little kid. Started tearing radios apart when I was about 4 or 5 years ago. Started being able to figure out how to put some of the stuff back together when I was 11. So there are many a days where there are Panasonic radios and pieces of junk all over my room, electronic stuff. So I'd been into electronics, and in about sixth grade I got into communication. Started with the CB, I'll admit it. Started the CB, and that's what really started me down the technical road. Didn't start getting a hold of my first computer until I was, actually the first computer I ever played with or was able to mess with was in ninth grade, but nothing with speech on it. It never, you know, none of the speech stuff didn't work. And when I got into junior high, it was a real tough situation for me. I was the only kid in the whole entire school district, so I was pretty alone through the junior high years, and my grades really suffered because of it. I was a BC student when I was in grade school, but when I got into junior high school, I was worried about having more fun or doing things than I was getting grades. I wanted to mess around with electronics more than I wanted to study math and things like that. If I look back at it today, I realize that math and electronics have a lot to do with each other. So then during my 10th grade in school, I started playing around with my first voice-enabled computer, and I didn't care much about computers back then. I wanted to take a computer class, but I had a sighted computer instructor that really didn't know how to handle me as a blind person. Nobody had any idea about technology. And then this, just to give you an idea, we had Apple IIs and we had mainframes. We were still using mainframes back then. So the synthesizer technology was way too primitive, and you really couldn't do anything. You couldn't do nothing. The first actual piece of hardware I worked on was a VersaBrail when I was in 12th grade, and I really loved that. I worked hard on that, and I helped other people learn that. And that VersaBrail is I think it was a 10-cell display, and it was like a word processor, and it was big and bulky. I mean, it was about the size of a transportable computer. It was pretty heavy. And I was really getting heavy into electronics then. I was out of the CB craze. I was in that from about sixth grade till about 10th grade, and I just got tired of it because I got started thinking about getting into ham radio. Never did until later years on, but I got heavy into recording. I recorded everything. I had a extremely nice recorder, boombox type situation. This was back when they actually built them nice. I paid a little over $300 and it had Dolby noise reduction, and I would record everything. I was recording audio from my band I was heavy into choir and things like that. So I was recording a lot of that stuff and was really heavy into it. My senior year when I talked to my state counselor, I wanted to be a recording engineer. Absolutely not. Dennis, you can't be a recording engineer. A blind person is not able to do that. That's one of the things I really regret about being in high school. I just wasn't able to do that. I wanted to pursue my electronics career. And at this time, as I said, computers wasn't really a part of it. I played with them and messed with them, but they weren't really a part. So there you go. That's about to about 12th grade. At this time, I'm sitting here, not having a real good high school career, because once I got into high school, I did have some bad times in 10th grade. I failed a class and had repeated, and I just didn't care much about it because I was more into electronics, you know. Talk about IC circuits and modulation types and things like that, and I was interested. Talk about history, which I failed. I was bored. So there you go. That's up to about 12th grade.
Okay, I want to touch on two things there, Dennis. You said that you were kind of lonely, or that some of those years were lonely. I know that socially, you dated a fair amount. We probably won't reiterate a lot of the stories you've told me about your dating career during this interview, but you did date a fair amount, and I want to hear more about your band before we move on.
Well, we really didn't have a band per se. We tried to get a band together, and I played drums, and that was actually a year after high school. I had a little band. I did choir. I played drums. I got my first drum set in ninth grade, and that's when I started coming out of my shell. There were no blind people in my school, but we had a group of people that started a little group together. One of the teachers started a counseling group for all the people in our school district, well, actually school district, that had physical disabilities. So we had different physical disabilities there, which was great because in ninth grade or 10th grade, if I didn't have some of those friends, I would have quit school. At this time, you were allowed to quit school at 16 because you guys, I was that desperate. I hated it that much. I was feeling lonely and feeling trapped and not knowing, you know, but not knowing what to do. Well, I kind of had my first girlfriend in ninth grade, and the relationship went on and off until I was about 22 or 23 years old, and I was heavy duty into choir. I loved choir. We had an excellent choir. All of our stuff was 8-part harmony. Most of it was a cappella. It was really fun. We had 90 people in our choir, and then that little band I was talking about, we tried to get a band together after I got out of high school, and we played a few sessions together. I was a drummer. I was never, none of us were good. You know what I mean? We thought we were cool back then, but you know, I go back and think about it back then. None of us were really good. So we only lasted about a year. We never played any gigs or anything like that. And me and my buddy of mine, he had the only blind, I guess I should take that back. I knew one blind guy, but he had like 2100 sight, you know what I mean? Completely different compared to me. You know, I was virtually almost blind. Oh, one thing I want to mention, when I was in high school too, I know I probably got to move on, but the real critical time was my senior year in high school. I moved from the local school district I lived in, which was Fridley, to the school district next door because it was that bad for me. There, I just didn't feel like, I feel like I had a stigma attached to me, and I have my friends there, don't get me wrong, but I still felt different, and at that point, I didn't know if I was going to graduate high school or not. I mean, that's how close it was. So my mom got married when I was 18 years old, and that put a strain on me because I didn't care, you know. At that time, I'd been on my own since 5, so it didn't matter to me, you know. But so I moved over to the districts, and I did graduate by the skin of my teeth, but I made it, and I had a good time. I had my fair share of dating and things like that. I mean, I went to my seat. I actually went to my junior year. I went to prom. My senior year, I didn't go because my senior year, I didn't know anybody in the schools, and that was the year I decided I needed my cane. I was walking down the hallway, and I'm this little twerp, you know. I'm still a short guy. I'm 5'6", 5'7", right? And here comes this big football player. He's like 6'2", right? I don't have my cane. I bump into him, and he slams me into the wall, right? And I think, well, this is the day I need to get my cane. And ever since I've been 18 years old, I've used a cane.
Oh, I love that story, Dennis. Okay, well, it sounds like the band was a good memory anyway. Well, so now you've. You have graduated. And you had a series of different jobs, which I found very interesting for many blind people, unless they pursue college and a professional career. They just didn't have the kind of jobs you did. I think it probably took a lot of ingenuity on your part. I know one of your jobs was dishwashing, for example, and I'm of the mind if you want to be employed, any job is a good job for a blind person. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your varied work experiences?
Well, my work experiences are half school and half work. Right after I got out of high school, I went to Business Enterprises for 3 months. Was totally, I mean, if you're into the standard computers at this time, it was computers or tax service representative or collections for the IRS. And you know me, I'm a pretty happy-go-lucky guy. I don't think I could tell some poor sap that he needs to go give his taxes to the IRS. And at this time, I wasn't even into computers yet. The computer thing didn't happen until later on. I mean, I'd played with them and I knew about them and I knew what they were about, but I was so heavy into electronics. At this time, my recording stuff had been thoroughly squashed because it's what I wanted to do. So, well, I wasn't thoroughly squashed. This was right after high school. 3 months after I got out of high school, I went to Arkansas Enterprises for Blind. This was before we had our little band together. And was just totally, met a lot of nice people there, had a lot of good time, spent my partying days there, and I had a lot of fun there, but didn't looked at it and looked back at it, and I was forced into going, and they wanted me, my counselor wanted me to be a tax service representative. Oh, God, Jesus. You know, I mean, it's like, how more out of touch can you be, you know? But I was 18 years old and I didn't know any better. So, well, anyways, after I got back home, I sat around and did odd things here and there for a few months, then got myself a job working at a Greek restaurant as a dishwasher. And that was a blast. Yeah, it wasn't the greatest paying job, but I worked 6 hours a day, worked my tail to the bone, and that paid for all my money, my electronic money. This is back when I started getting into my first stereo gear. I didn't get paid a whole lot, minimum wage, but you know what? You know, I was still living at home, and this was about 1986. Did this job for about a year and a half. Had a good time with it. Year and a half, something like that. Had a lot of fun. Actually, was still being still had a lot of friends from high school. Three or four of my buddies, we used to go out and we were drinking buddies, you know, and had a good times. And you know, I was still heavy duty into electronics, still playing around with the drums and stuff like that. But you know, after the band kind of, we decided we didn't want to do nothing, and I didn't really do a whole lot. Played a little keyboard, but nothing real, you know, heavy duty. So, anyways. Let's see. Then in '86, I talked to my counselor. This time I changed counselors from high school. I had different counselor. I'm not going to give any counselor names here because I don't want to give them any good or bad reps. In '86, I decided I was 20 years old, 20, going 20, yeah, something like that, 20, almost 21. Beginning of '86, was it? I can't remember. I decided I was going to go into Business Enterprises. My parents told me, "Dang you, Dennis," and they didn't say it in those nice words. "You got to get your patootsie out there and get yourself a job. You're not going to be living here." So, okay, I went into Business Enterprises. I liked Business Enterprises. I was in it from middle of '86 till early. Now, late 1989, early 1990, actually late '89, and I did a fairly good job. I had two stands. One I had for a month or so. This is in downtown Minneapolis. The stand training program I think it ran probably 6 months or so, because you had 6 weeks of behind the counter training, and then if I'm not incorrect, you had 9 weeks of machine training where you learned how to do machines, and then I think you had, this is just from memory, I can't remember for sure, I think you had another 9 or 10 weeks of actual on-stand training. And I did great at everything except for the bookwork. I couldn't do bookwork. I was 23 years old, and actually at the time I was 22, 22, 23. And at that time in my life, I was too young to have a business. I did good at everything. I filmed the coffee machines. Being that I was into electronics and mechanics, I made my machines run pretty good. Everything was running good, but I just couldn't keep up with the bookwork. Yeah, I know there's a lot of people out there say all you have to do is do this and do that. Well, at the time, I still had no clue what I wanted to do. I mean, realistically, I had no clue. I was so into electronics, I got my ham ticket right after I got out of Business Enterprises, and I was pretty bummed out because I liked doing what I was doing, but I had my bookwork all screwed up. And at that time, if I'd go back and had to do it all over again, I would have tried to figure out a way to fix it. But you know how it is when, still at this point, I'm really the only blind guy that I knew at that time. As I said, I had a couple of friends that I'd talked to that were blind. And well, actually, Business Enterprises, I knew blind people there, but at this time I was back on my own again. So I know I'm kind of moving back and forth on this, but I hope you guys can follow. Then in 1990, I really got my first look at computers. I knew about DOS and my buddies all had computers, but I didn't, I really, really couldn't, I did a little bit on the DOS stuff. I knew a little bit about it. You know what I mean? I knew a little bit. And I had gotten my ham ticket, so I knew people talked about DOS and computers and so forth, but I really just started getting really interested in it because my buddy used to, at this time, it was easier to get on the internet or do online activities on ham radio than it was by dial-up connection. It was much faster at that time, and it was easier. So my buddy would do these neat ham radio things and get for sale ads and things, and God, that's so darn cool. I wish I could do that. Then it went out of my mind. Then in 1990, I went to Blind Incorporated. No, I bet you'll be questions about that. That's the local NFB school here. A real interesting situation. Very interesting. If you don't have a heavy-duty constitution, I don't suggest going there because there are a lot of good teachers there, but it felt like an induction center. And that's probably one of the things that turned me off to the NFB more than anything. It had nothing to do with the NFB. It had to do with the way that these people would force you to try to really get into their group. And I was good. I mean, this was the first time I really got into computers. I sat down one day, talked to the computer teacher, Dave Kramer was his name. Absolute, he was a sighted guy too, but he was the first guy that showed me how to run a 8088 computer for 640K in memory, and I was entranced. I loved it. I thought, oh, this is great, man. This is really cool. And I don't know what did it. I think it was because I actually could tie computers with electronics. So I went to the school, and I'm not going to get into the way the whole school worked. I'm just going to talk about where it pertains to my computers so far. I mean, I had a lot of fun there. Some misery, but everything happens with fun and misery. You know how that goes. So. But in the computer way, I took the class, and the class, by the way, this Blind Incorporated, you're required to take all classes and live in their dormitories or their apartments. And so I did that for 8 or 9 months, 9 months. And when I was in there, I'm kind of rambling here, I'm sorry. I took the computer course that was meant to be a year-long course, and I finished it in 3 months. So I was basically teaching other people. This is the first time I got my first glimpse of how fun it could be to teach. My wife's going to get that. So the first time I really got to teach anybody was the last maybe 2 months when I was at Blind Incorporated. They took off, the teachers took off for a week or so, and I got to teach the students how to do computer technology. So that was my first real experience. I'm going to take a break here and make sure there's no questions or anything.
No, you're on a roll, and it's very interesting. So just keep on keeping on there, Dan.
Plus, I had to get a drink, too. That was my real excuse. Okay, so this Dave Kramer was really my guru when it came to computers. He taught me everything about DOS. And after I got done with Blind Incorporated, I looked around for jobs. And I started looking at jobs that were based on what my work experience was with business enterprises. And I got a few offers, but they were all, it was funny because I got offers from like Target and Kmart and Walmart to run their snack bars. And I almost thought about doing it, but you had to run the, as a manager, you had to be able to run a fry cooker. And I didn't want to go back in this. I was still fresh off the big issues I had with business enterprises, and I really wanted to do the computer stuff. I said, well, it's heavy into ham radio. Took a little, at this time, I didn't really, I still, at 24, 25 years old, all I wanted to do was electronics. That's all I wanted to do was electronics and computers. So I thought, okay, where do I need to go? And I did odd jobs here and there. You know, I helped people out with electronics and you know, do part-time sales jobs, things. But nothing really interesting. Nothing that satisfied me. Well, in 1994, actually, I got to back up here. In 1992, I met my beautiful wife, Colette, who at that time was my girlfriend. I met her in a personals ad. And, whoops, sorry about that. I met her in September of 92, and in September of 92 was the first time I met my wife, and she was, it was an interesting relationship. How can I explain it? We met each other in the personals ad, like I said before, and we just really wanted to have somebody to talk to. At this time of my life, I was basically really not looking for a relationship because I had several bad relationships beforehand that I didn't get into here earlier. But then I met her. Well, I messed around, did a few things for a couple of years, and I and my wife, Colette, were still going out. I moved. I'd moved out of my house when I was doing business enterprises, just a note, and moved out of there. So I'd been living on my own for several years. Well, I'd probably been, about, when did I move out, 88? Yeah, I'd been about 4 or 5 years. So anyways, did various things here and there, didn't really make a whole lot of money, and decided in 94 that I really wanted to pursue computers more. But I didn't know at this time that I wanted to teach. So this is tough because it's hard to remember it all. In 1994... late 1994, I and my wife moved in together, and I don't care telling people that. If you have a hang up with it, so be it. 1994, I moved in with my wife, and at this time, I was looking at going to college. I thought, okay, maybe I'm ready to go to college. But I really didn't even know what I wanted to be in college. I talked to my different counselor, and we had a work assessment done on me. And, you know, we talked about it, and you don't have anything to offer anybody. You need to go back to school. You couldn't even volunteer because you had no skills, which was absolutely, totally bogus in my estimation. But, you know, when you're not working and you're down, and and you don't have many, you know, options, you know, you kind of get depressed. And I could have went to Black to Blind Incorporated or NFB and talked to them. I didn't want to do it that way. I wanted to be independent. And I'm very stubborn when it comes to that. So anyways, I got engaged to my wife. Oh, was it 95, Claire?
It was in 94.
94, yes, late 94. So I and my wife moved in together, and then a couple, Christmas of 94, we got engaged, and in 95, was it 95 we moved? Yeah, 95. In 95 we moved, and that was right before that I got my first DOS computer. Spent $300. Got my double talk synthesizer that I'm still using today. Came out in 91. I bought it from a buddy of mine. Double talk synthesizer and a 3D640 megahertz. And I worked the heck out of that thing. I had used that at this time to teach myself DOS. Well, at this time, really, still, DOS was the only thing going for blind people. I was watching all my blind buddies out there struggle with Windows. And I'd sit back and I'd look at them and, oh, they'd be able to do this audio and they'd do that audio. But at this time, DOS was still king in the blind world. You know what I mean? I could do everything and more in DOS that my buddy could do except for play streaming. This was back when everybody had 14.4 and 28.8 modems. I could do everything in DOS that my buddy could do in Windows except for stream audio. That was it. That was about it. You know, I had email. I had the whole shooting match. I wasn't on links or any internet connection. I was doing it through local BBSs. And BBSs are local phone numbers you can call up where you can get programs and things. This was really, BBSs started, well, for me, not, they've been out there for a long, long time, but BBS has started, first time I heard about my first BBS was in 87, 88, and they were actually starting to die out because everybody was starting to get in the internet, but this was right before Windows 95 came out, and Windows 3.1.1 for a blind person was an absolute nightmare, so I didn't even have any interest. But then Windows 95 came out, and people could do a lot more, and speech started getting to be somewhat accessible. So at this time, I knew the ins and outs of DOS. I mean, I could do everything. I had all the programs. I didn't even have a sound card on this computer, right? But I could play WAV files through my little speaker on the front. I mean, that tells you what I had this little 386 just running on all 10 cylinders, and it had 8 cylinders in it, you know? So, but I knew about... At this time, too, I'm still talking to my counselor and what I want to do. And I decided, after playing with this computer for a year and a half, Windows was starting to get to be a blind user-friendly thing. So at that point, I talked to my counselor and said, I want to be a teacher. I want to teach blind people how to use their computers. All right? And we talked about it, and this was in 97. So my wife and I decided to get a computer together. All the stuff we purchased ourselves, and we paid $3,000 for the computer I'm on today. We got it in 98. And we decided about it, late 97, we were going to get one. And my wife changed jobs. And the real clincher was, is my wife has a computer plan, a computer plan at her work where her work will pay for half the computer. Because, see, at this time, at this time the standard was a 233 or a 333 with 64 megs or 32 megs of memory. A computer that we both could use with 333, 64 megs of memory, a printer and a scanner and a monitor and at this time a standard sound card, was about $2,500. And that didn't include the JFW software, which was $800, $900, including a service agreement. So you're talking $3,500. That's no cheap chunk of change there. So, I mean, that was the only thing holding me back at the time, wanting to really show people how to do computers. I had had 3 months of basic Windows training, actually not really basic Windows training, Microsoft Word training. I learned more in two weeks on my own computer than I did in three months of computer training. And that was the same thing when I went to Blind Incorporated. I never had my own computer. Sure, I had access to their computers and stuff, but it wasn't like I could go down there anytime I wanted to and fire it up. They didn't have any modem access or anything back then. I know I'm going backwards. So really, this is the first time that I was really going to get down and get dirty with Windows. And I'm going to take a standby here and see if you have any questions for me, Jennifer.
Just one, Dennis. You told your rehab counselor that you really wanted to teach blind people how to use the technology that was out there for us. A foolish move on their part. I don't think that they facilitated you in that desire. What happened with that?
Ah, thank you. I forgot to mention that. I still wanted to be a teacher, and he agreed. He thought it was a good idea. And I know I needed the training, and I knew if I didn't have a clear plan going into it, your counselors can be your friend or your worst enemy when it comes to doing stuff. Yeah, that's one thing I got to tell you people. Don't, and you guys probably, I'm probably preaching to the choir here. Don't let your counselor push you around. Because if they know they can tell you what to do, then they got you over a bag. I mean, that's what happened to me when I was a kid. You know, I would have been into this stuff a lot earlier if it would have been my choice. But anyways, 1997, when I decided I wanted to get into computers, my counselor talked about it. And I started taking these computer classes, and we discussed it a little bit more. Well, in the state of Minnesota, and I don't know if this changed because I haven't bothered to look into it lately, but in the state of Minnesota, most of the stuff is contracted out, all right? So what happens is you go to the state and you go, can I be a computer teacher or can I be a teacher of blind people, you know, training, or an adaptive technology specialist? And sure, you can do that, but you got to follow our hoops. You got to take tests for each one of our programs you want to teach. And what was interesting about that was after I got my 3 months of computer training, I went over to the Technology Center in St. Paul. And don't get me wrong, there are a bunch of nice people over there, but they had all of this computer gear and three or four people that I could tell sitting in there, and a lot of computers just sitting there not being used. And it was like, I don't know how to explain it. It was like I didn't feel real comfortable over there. So anyways, to make a long story short, I talked to my counselor. How's the situation work? I'd already had my training, and I was already decided that I was going to get into this, right? Well, you take their class. You take their. You have to go in and test to be a trainer. I thought, it's not that big of a deal. Then he tells me that you're an independent business person, meaning as in you're contracted by the state. BS on that noise. I already owned my own business when I had business enterprises. Maybe I'm fussy, but I already had a real bad experience with business enterprises. And I wasn't going to own my own business for the life of me. And I'm still gun-shy. 7 years. 7 years after being in this thing, I still have nightmares about it today. I'm serious. I still have nightmares about it today. So at that point, I had gotten married to my wife in 96, And my wife had a fairly decent job. And in 97, 98, my wife got a better job. And so I decided I still was going to teach. So I was going to do it my way or the highway. So I figured I'm just going to get myself the training and start getting into computers, and we'll see what happens. You know, at this point in time, if I had had a standard telemarketing job, it wouldn't have been worth it. We would have gotten all my money would have been eaten up in taxes. It was at that point, I had no benefits or anything like that. I couldn't get any benefits because my wife made too much money. I didn't, you know, sure it was a bummer, but you know, my wife is definitely more important to me than having benefits. I mean, my wife is probably one of the biggest influences in in the way I do things. She always helps me out and is encouraging. And she's realistic with me too. I mean, so she you know, she yeah, she's let's put it this way, she's my how can I explain it? I'm one of these guys that get really hyper. When I really get into something, I really get into something. And she keeps me cool and calm and collected. Unless it's gambling. Well, that's a whole nother story. That's her story, not mine, though. He. Anyway, so in 95, 98, I got my first computer, my first Windows-based computer, and that's the one I'm talking to you on right now. And I learned a lot on that. I started really learning and started talking to people that knew about computers. First program we ever talked on back and forth was VoxChat. And VoxChat was something that was unbelievable. I mean, all the blind people were on there. I mean, they had this USA VoxChat server, and we used to communicate. And that's how I learned a lot of my computer stuff, talking to buddies that already knew about it and experimenting it myself. I can't tell you how many times I screwed up my registry and messed things up on that Windows 95 machine. I must not have messed it up too bad, though, because I had the same copy of Windows running on this computer for over 4 years, and I finally put a new version in. So at this time, I thought, I'm going to teach. But I'm going to teach people online. Yeah, it would be nice to get paid. It would be nice to get paid. But I'll be darned if I'm going to do the independent businessman thing again. I'm still scared of it. So I got up on some of these chat sites and things like that, and we started communicating with other blind people. And that's how I started doing it. It was informal. It was informal. You know, we'd get four or five of us around like we're talking here, and I'd have a question, Jeff, because this time me and the blind beggar were talking probably pretty good. I didn't know him really well back then. But started to talk to him. I think I met him first. I can't remember it. I meet him. I can't remember where I met him. I think I met him at on Alta Vista, or did I meet him on? No, I met. I think the first time I talked to Jeff was on the ACB Radio Lipstream page. I can't remember. It's been, you know, so many things have happened here. So anyways, just over the years, just talking to people and learning. I most of the time, besides the 3 months training and the 1 year I've gotten of computer training, I've really learned most of the computer stuff in myself. And when I look back at it today, the DOS is virtually useless. I mean, I can use DOS, and I got some stuff I still don't do in DOS. And the 3 months of Windows training were not bad. I mean, but they gave me the rudimentaries, but I learned a lot more, and so forth and so on. So, and let's see. Never had. I thought at this time, if I knew enough people and started networking over the internet, that showing people that I had starting to really get a good grasp on the technology. I thought, well, you know, I might get a job out of this. You know, I thought this is the way to go. Well, I look back at it today, and I learned a lot more than I know than I knew back then. I've realized something that the access technology area is a money maker for a lot of for a lot of people, and it's also it's a real touchy situation. You've got to jump through a lot of hoops, which is really sad because there are a lot of people out there who realistically, as blind people, could have good kick-ass jobs, you know, really good blind, I mean, know their technology, but they don't actually fit into what the agency thinks a blind person should be. I mean, you know, I don't have the college career. I don't have the high school, the college degree to back myself up. So that puts me right up to about before we started this thing, Jennifer.
Yeah, and I told Dennis I was going to mention during his interview that he does have a job now. And unfortunately, at this moment in time, and Parker and Barry and Terry and Dennis and myself and many others who work for the people, we're all making the same salary, which is zip, but hopefully that will change. But Dennis, you've brought a lot to this site. I know you love teaching your classes, and many have benefited from your classes. I think I'll just turn it over to you and let you discuss your activity on For the People.
Well, when we started For the People, we wanted, you know, Jennifer probably agree with me. The main thing I think I wanted out of For the People was a place where blind people could get together and talk technology, and not only talk technology, but be able to talk to each other and really communicate and network and not have to worry about, when I teach a class up here, it's a low-key atmosphere. I don't ever claim to know it all. I have never claimed to know it all when it comes to technology. Everybody up here can teach everybody something. And that was the attitude I had when we started this thing. I wanted people to be able to communicate and give the best of themselves to everybody else. And I started teaching in formal class situations up here right after I got broadband. We started in August of, was it 2000? And I think in October I started my first class up here. And you guys, I was nervous. I mean, I was absolutely terrified. I mean, I knew about JFW, and I knew, and I, you know, I talked a little bit before in a public situation. But man, that night, there were 25 people in this JFW basics class. You know, today it's old hat. You know, I mean, do it, you know, it's like nothing to do, you know. But at this time, there were not too many people that were teaching online. And all the other places that taught online, you had to be invited to. And they weren't, you know, you only had five or six people in a class. So in my start button biased opinion, I really think I was breaking ground there. Because my idea is, yeah, it's great to be able to have four or five blind people and be able to help them one-on-one. But I treat you like you're intelligent. I mean, I'm not saying that the other situations aren't good, because they are good. I mean, people learn from them, all right? But what makes us so different from other people? I'm blind, you're blind. Why not have it set it up as a college situation, or not a college situation, but a classroom situation? If you've got the equipment, I've got the equipment, what's the sense of having one or two people and when 25 people can learn it? Now, 25 is a little much. I think my comfortable level is around 10 to 15. But my whole point to this is just like you learn in a classroom, you take your notes and then you go back later on and you do this. And that was what the premise that I started teaching. I didn't realize it at the time. But that was kind of the idea that kind of slipped into my mind as we kept on going with this, that I'm going to have a lot of people at this thing, and I'm going to have to figure out a way to handle everybody. See, it's one thing to know a program inside and out. And I know we're going long here, and I'm going to kind of cut it off here in a second. But it's one thing to teach people a program inside and out, but it's another thing. Well, let me back up. Let me repeat myself. It's one thing to know a program inside and out, but it's another thing to be able to communicate that process to another person. And that's where I don't think, I think as a teacher, that's the most important thing. I don't know everything about every program. I don't. And that's, you know, a lot of times you come up here and hear me, I feel very frustrated when I can't give you guys answers. It bothers me. It really bothers me. But I don't know everything about everything, and I try my best. And I'll try to get you an answer. If you really need an answer bad and I don't know it, we got Chris up here, we got Terry, we got Parker, we got a lot of people. But at that time, I was really, besides me and a couple other people, I was the only person teaching a formal class up here. So it was pretty nerve-wracking.
Yeah, and I think you did break ground, Dennis, with your classes. It was a wonderful drawing card for the site. Helped give us a shot in the arm with letting folks know that we were here and what we were all about, which basically was people helping people. It's been a great interview. I want to thank you very much, Dennis, for all you've done for the people, and hopefully we'll continue to do. Unless you have anything else you want to talk about before we wrap up for questions, I think we covered a lot of ground here.
The only thing I want to say to people is, up here at For the People, I've taught for free. I've taught classes for free, and it's going to be that way. It's going to always be that way. As long as I can do it for free, I'll do it. I go through my spurts like anybody else, like this with getting my new house and stuff. I haven't taught as much up here lately. But I do a lot of other things, you know, recording these things, editing these things, and doing other things and technical stuff and so forth. And so, you know, I'm going to try to make my classes free as much as I can. And if I can't make them free to people that can't afford them, I'm not going to do it. Yeah, I know, you have to make money. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. I'd love to be making money at this. But I feel that I need to say that I want to make sure the people that really need the help. I don't want to throw somebody on a computer. They just spent $17,000 to $2,000 on a computer themselves. Because most of us guys up here purchased our own equipment. You know, most of us guys and gals purchase our own equipment. You know, to get the proper training on something, I mean, I'd have to charge, even if I had 10 people in a classroom, I'd still charge, you know, each person would be charged, you know, $5 or $10 an hour. And I don't want to do that. Anyways, go ahead.
Yeah, that's a good point. Philosophically, we will never charge folks for classes up here. In the near future, we hope to be able to pay our instructors and our teachers and other folks who contribute so much to the site, pay them well for a job well done, but we always will make education and technology a free resource on the site. We do have a few folks who charge privately for one-on-one, and I think that's great, and it's the way it should be. Well, everyone, I know everyone I have lots of questions, so first come, first serve.
Dennis, I have listened to you, and having my sight, I have learned from you. But what I want to say, I think you are very slow and to the point, and don't lose your cool. That's all I can say.
Nice compliment there, Carl. Anyone else have a question for Dennis?
Yeah, Dennis, this is Tom. Interested in getting with you personally one-on-one to discuss some technical things, but for starters, I am interested in getting my ham ticket, and I'm in the process of doing that. Do you have any recommendations or help in that area?
Well, I got my technician in 1989, and I got my general and advanced in 1991. Yeah. I suggest to you, the way I did it is probably not the best way to do it. Today they don't require the Morse code. The best way that I did it, I hate to say this, was I had a couple of buddies that were hams, and it takes, for especially like the extra cost license and things like that, it really, today you can do it online. There's a lot of neat places out there. Remember, I did this before. There was a lot of online stuff. There's a lot of online places where you can take the tests, and I don't know how accessible they are with speech. I don't do ham radio that much anymore since I've gotten into the computer stuff. The one thing, though, that you should try to do in your local area if you can, and it's a real advantage if you've got some people that you can do it together with. When I started learning to get my ham ticket, I took the classes with, you know, I took, well, not classes. We taught each other, about four or five of us. So that made it a lot easier. If you can get a couple of three, four guys that are at the same level that you are, you can all take the test together, and it gives you an advantage because as they're learning, they can give you questions and so forth. Then you don't have to worry about the blindness issue. When I took my any of my ham radio licenses, I never had to worry about the diagrams. They don't require that. They just give you different questions. At least that's what they did in my instance. And when I took my 13 minutes word code speed test, that was probably the hardest thing I ever did.
Well, I think it's been a wonderful show, and Dennis, I don't want you to get real involved in editing your own show here. I love the director's cut, but I would just leave it the way it is. And my question is, how you doing on your home site? That's one of the latest projects you're really getting into, and I'd like to hear a little bit about that.
The reason why I put the web page up, and I know we're running long overdue, but that's okay, I suppose, because I'm the one that's got to edit it. The reason why I started the web page up was because I was getting bored, I'll be honest. I love teaching up here. Don't get me wrong, I love teaching. But I'm one of these guys that if I don't have some neat new program or something that stimulates me, you know, I'll love teaching you guys. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes you get, you know, you can only teach the basics of JFW so many times before your brain starts going pickle. You know what I mean? So I needed something new. And not saying, please don't understand that I love what I do up here and I'm going to continue doing what I'm doing up here. But I needed something different in my life. So I had in my mind for past year of doing this program called Talking Tech with Start Button. And what that is a series of shows dealing with accessible devices, maybe showing you web pages that I think are cool, maybe a program or two, much more general in scope than our classes are. I'm not going to teach you the insides and outs of each program. I'm going to show you the basics and things like that. But that's not going to be the main thrust. I wanted to be able to have a place where I could do audio things, like show you games. Like ACB does a lot of these things. They're neat and stuff. Like, for example, I like to play around with some of the games. But to show people the games, they have to be in stereo. So that was one of the, you know, main reasons, because I could manipulate the audio quality and the audio content of what I was doing. And I love doing things up here. Don't get me wrong, but the chat client audio quality is not, you know, it's not MP3.
You're getting quite a bit of break up there, Dennis.
Yeah, we actually thought we were down again. Did you guys get most of that?
You were fine up to that the chat client wasn't MP3 quality. You might want to repeat that line.
All right, the only thing I'm going to say is the chat client wasn't MP3 quality, so I wanted to be able to do things where I could play around with audio, because you guys know how much I love getting into audio. And I wanted to be able to do things in stereo and do it with some sound quality and really move beyond just editing. That was, you know, that's really what the catalyst was.
Would you have any stream audio of maybe some radio programs that you have?
No, because that gets into copyright issues, and I could do a lot of the older ones, but they're already up on Live 365 and Shoutcast, so there's really no point in streaming the old stuff. And the newer stuff that people want to hear, you just can't put that on a web page because of I'm a conservative person when it comes to that. I don't want to get in trouble, and I just can't do that up on the web page because of I'm not going to go research each program I put up there for copyright issues. I don't want my website pulled down saying, ah, you got something copywritten up there.
Okay, Dennis, if you'd like to give that Earl, fine. Within, I'd say a week, we'll have a new category of links in our links library for members' web pages, and you'll be able to find Start Buttons page there, too. If you'd like to give that Earl, Dennis, go ahead.
Yeah, it's real easy. Just do a Control-O and Outlook in Internet Explorer. Sorry, I got my teacher hat back on. Do not type www or HTTP. You may have to type in http://, but you can just type in home, H-O-M-E, dot A-T-T-B-I, that's Alpha Tango Tango Baker India, dot com, home, .attbi.com, then you put the slash sign in, and then you put a tilde, and then put in start button, S-T-A-R-T-T-B-U-B-S-T-A-R-T-T-B-O-N, start button, B-U-B-U-T-T-O-N, God, I can't even spell my own dang name. Start button, and then the number one, slash. So it's home.attbi.com/tilde/start1/. And if anybody wants a direct link to it, I can email them a link. Just click on the contact us or send a message to startbutton@4-the-people.com and I'll send you a link.
You sure like to give yourself some work to do, more editing.
Dennis, I sent the link to the piece list as well. I had people tell me that there was no one at the start button. And, of course, there is, I know, but I just wanted to let you know I sent it to the list several times.
Your volume's still real low there, Bob. If you didn't catch that, Bob was saying that he did send the URL to the Peeps Talk list several times. And as I said, it will be available in our list of links in the very near future. Any other questions for Dennis? Someone surely wants to ask him about his adventures in Z-Form.
Hi, Dennis, and good job with the interview. And no, I don't have any questions about poker. I guess the main question I have, because I guess some portions of our backgrounds are similar, as far as teaching online, like I've done a little bit of teaching in groups, you know, when you're physically with the people, but I've never done anything internet related. And I find when my biggest issue is the fact that I like to ramble as opposed to, you know, my thoughts being concise. I find in writing answers to questions or whatever, if I'm given something like that to do, I have no problem, but I find the focus aspect of teaching to be the most challenging part, especially when you got different people at different levels of the technical spectrum, so to speak. So I'm more or less wondering what you found helps in making yourself, you know, deliver things successfully that way, if you don't mind.
No problem. That's the kind of question I want. Well, when I teach people online, I come, and this is probably the best attitude to go with, and it gets people who are advanced, it makes them kind of bored, but I have to do it this way. Start from the assumption that they don't know anything about the program, unless you have pre-stated that you should have prior experience. There are programs that I require people to have some knowledge about, like when I do Gold Wave and things like that. They have to have some technical knowledge. But like in MSN Messenger or JAWS for Basics for Windows, I come into it teaching them from the ground up. That's one thing as a blind trainer you cannot do. You cannot overestimate your clients. That doesn't mean, say, that think in your mind they don't have as much intelligence. That means that they're intelligent in different ways. They know things that you don't know, and you know things that they don't know. And your object is to be able to impart information to them as easily and as quickly. Yeah, I don't go as fast as probably some people do, but I do go pretty fast. And what I always tell people is, have a tape recorder handy. Make notes. If you're going to sit there like a wallflower and listen to my class and try to follow it by just doing it, you're going to get far behind, because I move pretty quickly through my classes. So the three things that I always tell teachers that when they want to teach, A, know your product well. Know what you can do and what you can't do, and go through, if it's something you're not familiar with, go through a mock class with yourself. You don't have to sit there and say it out. Just go through it and think, what would I want to learn? And then number two, don't let people misdirect you. The biggest problem with classes online are people who come in and interrupt, or they'll start asking you questions that are beyond the scope of the class, or they're beyond what the program does, or beyond where people are. And don't let people try to get you to repeat. You know, if you miss something and they come back an hour later and say, can you repeat that again? You have to give them, you say, I'm sorry, I can't do that, but we'll talk about it at the end if you have the same question. And to make things precise, well, it's hard to. I mean, that's a big challenge for me. I like to ramble too. So know your product. Don't let the class get out of control, and be prepared. Be prepared. That's the most important thing.
Well, it's not a Z-form poker question, but where did you learn how to play poker? Was it during your choir days?
And I'll toot your horn for you, Dennis. Dennis is very high on the top 15. It's kind of a fluid status, but Dennis is doing very, very well in poker. Congratulations, buddy.
Yeah, thanks. Well, actually, I've been a great card player. I love playing cards since I was younger. I started playing poker with my family, and my uncles would start getting all hammered up, and I'd start playing poker. And we had a little system. I had my little cousin, his name is Jason, and he was like 12, and I was like 19, right? And I'd play cards, and he'd tell me what I had for cards, and I always give him a third of the pot, you know what I mean? So at the end of the night, what I had left over, he got a third of it. And that worked out real well, because we used to clean my family out all the time.
Funny story, Dennis. Well, we've run close to a half an hour overtime, and I need to be somewhere else. I want to thank Becky again. And Dennis, thank you each and every week for the wonderful editing job you do, and for this interview. And perhaps Dennis can stay and entertain you all more, but I need to run. So once again, thank you.